Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter 9 to chapter 10, verse 3. And we can find that on page number 111. Book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, page number 111. And I shall read chapter 9 through chapter 10, verse 3. Listen to the word of God. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering. And an ox and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil. For today the Lord will appear to you." And they brought what Moses commanded in front of the tent of meeting. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, "This is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them, as the Lord had commanded." So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin be burned up with fire outside the camp. Verse 12. Then he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar, and they handed the burnt offering to him piece by piece, and the head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs, and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering that was for the people and killed it and offered it as a sin offering, like the first one. And he presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the rule. And he presented the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar, besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he killed the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings for the people, and Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. But the fat pieces of the ox and of the ram, the fat tail and that which covers the entrails and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver, they put the fat pieces on the breasts and they burned the fat pieces on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. That's where our text finds. Now Nadab, the Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censers and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. The Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. Please also turn with me in Book of Exodus, chapter 30, and I shall read just one verse which relates to this unauthorized incense and fire, which is found on page number 89, Exodus 30, verse 9. "You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it." I read this verse for making sure that we have a backup support to know that there was an unauthorized incense as well. Before we go into the message, please join me in prayer. Fire from the Lord that consumes. And Lord, we stand in awe. Our hearts are filled with thanks that how sinful our thoughts are and how unintentional we are in our good things and more intentional in our bad things. And Father, we come before Thee this morning as we listen to Thy word, speak to our hearts, so we may not get consumed, the fire that comes from Thy throne. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the ways that the Lord had accepted the offerings was by sending fire. And if you look into, or if you imagine, or if you want to think more vividly how that could be happening, even the boys and girls can see a big mouth of fire coming out of it and consuming everything. It's very vivid. It's very something as if like a big thing, a fire sends out and the things are offered, he consumes them. And he gives a smile back to you. "Yes, well done." I think that is one of the weakest ways to look at the acceptance of our Lord when we offer something. It is not he is hungry, and then when you put something before him, you bring your offering to him, he is so well pleased and he receives it. And therefore, the message is, this morning we would see how the fire of the Lord has two purposes. It comes and receives the offering that you bring, but if it is offered with ill intent, thinking, okay, this is a tradition and I must do it for the Lord. Along with the offering, he may consume us. Though it sounds very serious note to begin with, but the message is very light. What I'm going to bring is very light. I'm just going to bring to you a story of Levi. And I think this would be kind of an assignment for boys and girls and even for young people to learn about Levi, who this Levi was. He was the third child of Leah, the unloved wife of Jacob, and he did not love her because his focus was on the other sister of Leah. And meanwhile, he got tricked. So he got Leah as wife, and then the first son was born, and the second son was born, and the third son Leah named Levi, which apparently means, at least now, my husband would get attached to me. I would not say that was a false hope, because in God's providence that happened to her. But the Levi was born. And there are various things about Levi that we would see this morning. But let me talk about John Calvin. Another young child, he was 12 years old when he became a chaplain. And I read in 16th century, if a child, a boy child, is 12 years old, he joins with the family for the responsible activities that they do. And now we have delayed that responsibility on our children for 10 more years. Now the children are 22 years old. And then they join the responsibilities of the family. And then we have gone further ahead in our culture. We don't want them to join into our family responsibilities. At 18, we want them to go out. Well, this is a culture. We live in a different culture, and we agree this is what the life should be. But if you go back a few centuries, and what this man, Calvin, achieved in his 23 years of life, at 23, he was ready to take down the greatest theology that we are still fathoming into. We are still learning into. We are still excited about what Calvin has said. One of the most exciting things about Calvin for me is his social life. Most of the people in theology, in seminary, think that the Calvin was the one who would write, sit in one of the corners of his office or house, and would not know what's happening downtown. But he was a crazy social man. When you read his letters, one of the letters came to me when I was looking for some social aspect in Calvin's life, and I was surprised that the Calvin once was in his office and heard something going out, some noise was going out there on the street. And the two people were fighting. They were hitting each other. And the Calvin jumped into. He tried to push both of them aside. While doing that, he got a few blows on his face. But he was very joyful to settle the matter for those two people. And then he comes back and he writes this in his letter. The letter that he's writing, he mentions that, see, I am there to resolve the conflicts of the people. He's writing this letter to a lady in the prison. And he says, I appreciate your faith. Because at the Reformation and this all chaos, many women were in prison because of the faith that they hold on to. It was not just the men who were in prison or burned at the stake. There were very many women, and Calvin appreciates them by writing letter while they are in prison. And he mentions that, I'm not only interested in theology, but even resolving the conflicts. I gave this small testimony of John Calvin. So we know that there is something going on in our life. We need to compare. But before us this morning, there is a story of Levi. Who was this young man? The third child of Leah, Her husband does not love her. And this young child is growing in a house looking at his mother that her father does not love her. Now, just guess what kind of child he is bringing up for the society. We have the whole book of Leviticus after his name. What kind of child is going to come out after 23 years? Well, we have the example. His sister was raped, so he plans with his brother Simeon, and they go and they chop off many people in the clan. Let's not go to that story. But we have in Levi an angry young man. Definitely Jacob and his wife are responsible for it. But he himself is also responsible. Why only we choose something wrong from our parents? Why don't you pick up something good from the word which is taught to them? So we have Levi as an angry young man. The another quality that we know about Levi was he was party to sell his own brother. When they were planning to sell Joseph, he was part of it. So if he thinks that my mother was not loved, for an example, he may be thinking that, he thinks that I am a neglected child in the family. So what he is acting is exactly what happened to him. He should have acted differently because he wanted a different result in the family. But he did not. There are many things that we can talk about, because if you look into the bad things of the character, we can list many. So I just decided to limit two. Levi had these two difficulties. One, he was a very angry young man. And the second, he was party to sell his own brother Joseph. Now, when we look at the history, Moses is on the mountain talking with God and bringing down the Ten Commandments, and he comes down and he sees that Aaron and his sons have joined the other Israelite community, and they have made calf of gold and they all are worshiping it. Moses is very upset. So he comes down and he says, "Those among you are for the Lord, please come out." And here is a great surprise again in the word of God, that the sons of Levi come out and join Moses. And then Moses says, "Go in and now kill your own brothers," because they worshipped different God. Now there is a sense here. The next generation of Levi, including Moses and Aaron, they are all Levites. They come forward and now they are trying to stand for the Lord. With their generation next, though there is a bad testimony of the grandfather or great-grandfather, but that has not affected the growth of that generation into being people of God. There is a lot to learn. We really do not know what this transpired, how it happened, what this change brought, and why the next generation decided to come and stand with Moses. Maybe he was their relative, so they did that. But whichever way, they made right decision to stand for the Lord. Dear congregation, this is the story of Levi. But when Levi's father was dying, he was blessing his children. And when it comes to Levi, he says, "Cursed be the anger of them." Because Jacob wasn't very happy when Levi and his son killed many people as a revenge. They took justice in their own hand. And that cursing of father resulted into this entire tribe of Levi having no inheritance in the promised land. And then God worked that whole thing as a providence, that they were made people who would be priests for all the tribes and take care of the whole nation, but have no their own inheritance as a piece of land. We will see that how that worked so beautifully. Most of the things in our life, even when we make bad choices, but if you repent, the Lord is able to reset the clock and make that next generation very faithful unto him. There are many examples of the Levite family. Moses is one of the Levites. Aaron is the second one. And the last one is John the Baptist. Look at the chain of this family. How important it is that what we do, it is going to follow the link way down there, and it's going to create a great history, though we will be gone. And therefore, we need to find some spiritual similarities with Levi and who we are. Let us see something about our own life in light of what Levi was. And I have a few points here. Levi was an angry young man. Now, young people, are you upset at times with certain things? So was Levi. But do you let the sun set when you are angry? Are you able to even go back and settle that anger with love? Would you pray when you are angry? When you're finished being angry, take time to pray. But not only young people, children, boys and girls. Don't you get upset? Don't you get angry for the color of ball that you wanted and you did not get it? The watch that you want and you did not get it on time? Thanksgiving is coming and there are no plans in the family what I'm going to get. And even grandparents, and even parents, they don't like their sons or daughters, so they don't even call them. And one of the saddest things that I have seen, when the churches get divided, the father goes to one church and the son goes to a different church. And they don't have fellowship. Would you seek forgiveness? Second thing we can learn from Levi's life. He was party to hurt his own brother. Are we? You know, there is a saying in Reformed circles, even in India, that God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And perhaps I am that crooked stick. Bad theology. No. We should not be party to hurt our own brother. But even if you hurt, don't hold on to this wrong theology that God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. Because look at Joseph, he was sold, but he became a blessing for that family. Don't become God. It was God who was doing it. We are not supposed to take the place of God and act as if our theology tells us that this is right. Third thing, his attitude was cursed by his father. Many a times, I have met some older people with tears in their eyes, and they remember their father cursing them. Even my own uncle, he was very upset with his father, my grandfather, and he almost hit grandfather with a brick which was there. And the grandfather looked at him and said, "You would suffer for it." My grandfather died. My uncle is still alive. And once I was sitting with him and I said, "What do you remember of your father?" And he started sobbing. He said, "My dad cursed me." The fourth thing, covenant party to the everlasting Sabbath. Levi, God made covenant with him, and he was the party to that everlasting Sabbath. I'm not going into the story of it. But when God was asked to make a covenant and the covenant of Sabbath, Levi's family was part of it. They were the covenant party that made the covenant of Sabbath with God. The fifth thing, these were the people, the Levites, were made priests. And what similarity we have with them. When we read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he writes that we are the royal priests. That's the similarity. God made the Levites as the priest for the nation. And then God looks at us, post-Christ, the Christians, you and me, and he says, you are the chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for his own possession. They are we. That's where we stand. So that we may proclaim the excellencies who called us from the darkness to the light. And that brings us to the third and the final point for this morning. Fire from the Lord. And here is a challenge. Let me read the text for all of us this morning. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. What is he seeing there? He saw his two sons are consumed by the fire. And he had no words to say. So when we bring our offering to the Lord, very direct application, the Lord's fire may come and consume the offering that we have been giving to him. But if it is brought by the unauthorized fire, he would take the offering and he would take you as well. Complete destruction. Dear congregation, something that we as Christians need to always remind ourselves, that this unauthorized fire need to be discerned. Is Lord receiving our offerings with the fire today? And the answer is yes. If you go before the Lord with your sin and repent, you feel the fire in your heart. You burn with that emotion. There are times when you come before the Lord and you are very happy and you feel the heat and the warm atmosphere around you. These are not something emotional, experiential things that happen to Christian, but they are true. The Lord deals with us. We are real human beings and God is a real God. When we look at what happened with these two sons, as we read chapter 9 of Levites, they were there to hand over the blood to Aaron. They were never mentioned that they would take the fire, incense, and offer it. They suddenly got used to the tradition of the family. In the morning, we get up, dress up, and go to the church. This is how the church is. Church is what? Church is this. We sing, we listen to the law, as a law, not never as a promise. It becomes a tradition for the family to serve the Lord, and suddenly some of the children of our family make this mistake of offering that unauthorized fire. The stolen money to the Lord, unfaithful gain committed to the bigger donation to the missions. And they very soon realize that has brought no blessing to that family. I would like all of us to think about it. I can give you many examples, but for wise people, they are not necessary. And therefore, look to these conclusions this morning. forget not, we are chosen nation. Don't overestimate. I tell it to myself. We are not the sons of Judah. Christ is. Though we are the sons of Abraham, God has called us his sons. But we are after the pattern of Levi. We find more similarities in the Levi than Judah. And we shift our goals. We start thinking we are equal with Christ. We are one with Christ. Yes, we are the children of Abraham, but of which tribe? More close to Levi. We are not supposed to have possessions in this world. And if you have it, it is for the glory of God. We are supposed to go out and bring this priestly office to the nations. We are those who are asked to focus on our anger and quench it, finish it up. Deal with your anger, move forward, and be the servants of the Lord. We are the people who would bring the covenant of God to the nations. Church, this is my personal biblical opinion. The church is after the tribe of Levi. Because we are chosen ones, and we should not forget that. Practice holiness. And finally, never play with the fire from the Lord. Come, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.